You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Hey, well, welcome to church, everybody. It is so cool to be here tonight. My name is Daryl, and with my beautiful wife, Denise, we're the lead pastors here at, at Elam Christian Center in Pukekohe, the southernmost campus. I reckon it's kind of up there. But I just want to say before anyone else, because are we live streaming tonight? No. My other favorite campus is you guys. It's you guys. My favorite campus. My other favorite campus, that is. But it is really cool to be here tonight. And right across our campuses, can I say a big thank you and a big welcome, passing on the blessings from Pukekohe to you here, to the whānau here, to the whānau back in Pukekohe. It is so cool that we are one church. We may meet in different buildings and locations around this great city and up to the far north, but under Jesus Christ, we are one in the body of Christ. That's Elam. We're just one big family and we love to hang out. So it's really, really cool to be here tonight. And I'd just like to say, before I get started, that I'd just like to apologise to the tech people tonight because I'm just going to change things around and mix it up. So sorry, you guys. But let's go for it. Let's see how we roll tonight. But we better pray. Come on, let's pray. Father God, tonight, Lord, just as Christian has prayed tonight, Lord, would you come and let your glory fall in this place? Like, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, would you come and speak the words of wisdom, of grace, of compassion, and of kindness? Lord, those words that are like just like salt, Father God, that kind of get us a bit scratchy, a bit itchy, Father God. Because Lord, I know you want to shift some things tonight in the hearts and lives of people here in this place. So Father, would you come and have your way? Lord, would you shift what needs to be shifted in our lives tonight, oh God? That Lord Jesus, we may walk out of this place different to the way we come in tonight. So Father, I pray, give us eyes to see what you're doing. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, I pray, would you give us a heart to understand, Lord God, that what you want us to understand tonight. So, Father, all glory to your name, all praise and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, here's the thing. The year is 1936, and we're in a place in Germany where the Nazi party is on the rise. Life is changing in Germany, and there's a young politician, there's a young guy who's coming up through the ranks in the Nazi party. His name is Adolf. It could have been, but the one I was talking about tonight is Adolf Hitler. And he is on the rise and exerting incredible power and authority in that nation and amongst the German people. And there's a rumor this one day that Adolf Hitler is going to make a surprise appearance at a Navy shipyard to christen a new warship in the German Navy. And so thousands of people come. There's a multitude of people come there just to see him or to be there in that crowd. And the excitement was building in the crowd. Would Adolf Hitler appear? Would he actually be there in that place? And all the German people are there. The crowd are pressing in. And then all of a sudden, Adolf Hitler comes to the deck of that ship. And immediately there's a crowd of thousands of people and they all have that saying, you know, that they say, they lift their hand and they go, Hail Hitler, Hail Hitler. And if you were there in that crowd and if you didn't do that, you know, that was like signing a death warrant for you at that time. And I want you to have a look at this picture here on the screen. And it's a famous picture that through history has been known as the person or the man who refused to salute to Hitler. You can go and check it up before. Can you see him there? Can you see him? His name is August. I think his sister was September, but he's August. Maybe they had a son, June and July or something like that, who knows. But August Landmesser is that guy right there. Look at him. Take a real close look. He's not doing this. He's like, there's no way. There's no way. There's a look on his face. There's a determination. Can you imagine the courage right now of that guy? The courage, the boldness. Why would he do that? Why would he stand there and just like against the whole crowd, this guy who's standing up there becomes a person that we know in history who wasn't a nice guy, who committed lots of crazy, crazy things. And there's one man who's standing there with his arms crossed. I'm not bowing to you. I'm not saluting you. I'm not giving you the time of day. And the reality was that for him, this man called August, that he would, after this photo, were pretty recent time after that, he would be arrested. His wife and himself would be sent off to a concentration camp. His wife would die first, and then August. Just for standing in a place and saying, I'm not going to bow to you. And here's the thing, we're doing an incredible series right now on the book of Daniel called Babylon. And Daniel and a few of his friends that we're going to talk about tonight is really a story of how you and I can stand in the midst like that. How you and I can stand in the midst of a culture that is shifting and trying to conform our identity, to try and test us and change us, to try and cancel us out and to make us like do the... Our world is shifting. And here's the crazy thing. The book of Daniel, written thousands of years ago, is still applicable today. So I want to say right at the start, unashamedly, we're gonna pull out scripture tonight. We're going to read lots of scripture. I was going to say you're going to be sick of scripture, but you're not going to be, because God is going to speak to you in scripture. It's the word of God is living and breathing and active. It's like the breath of God. So tonight, please stick with me tonight as we unpack some scripture tonight, because it will change your life. That's the thing, not if you laugh or you have these funny feelings tonight. It's the scripture, it's the word of God that will shift things in your life. Let's mess around with the tech people. Can you put up that first song that I just said? I was just, as we were in worship, fantastic worship tonight. There was a part in that verse that really spoke to me. I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. Maybe August did that. Next line. And if he puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice. Like what? Like in the fire? We all just sang this a few minutes ago. I'll rejoice because you're there too. Praise the Lord, he's always with us. He never leaves us or forsaken. Next line. Really? like what? Like God, the fire is one thing, but if it's the cross that brings transformation, maybe it's the furnace that we face that brings transformation too. But look at that next line. You know, we all sung it here with some of us had our hands lifted high and like, dude, crucified as well. Like God, really? And really, let's lift the level up. We're gonna go for it right now because that is what Daniel was talking about, right? We say this, we sing this, we come and we have this lovely building, a lovely facility, and the coffee guy is pretty awesome as well. And then we come and we go from this place tomorrow and face a culture that's shifting and changing and trying to conform you, trying to mold you, trying to change who you are into the likeness of whatever's going around on the world right now. Who knows what that is? And Daniel is a guy who's going to teach us and show us. And there's some great, incredible, powerful things here that if we can pick up a few things on how to stand strong, I believe we're on the way to shifting our nation. We're on the way to shifting culture. We're on the way to shifting workplaces and schools for the name of Jesus. Let's read. Let's pick up from our text so far that we've been reading. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. If this is your first time here tonight, come on, Elam, why don't we welcome all our guests one more time? If you're here for the first time, so good. So good to see you. Right, here we go. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, there's some great names in here, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And today Babylon is about where modern-day Iraq is, to the east of Israel, so over that way. The Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, come to Jerusalem and besieged it. He attacked it. He tried to overrun it, and he did. And, And get this, the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, which is like the Israelites, the Hebrew people, God's people. God delivered them into his hand, along with some of the articles of the temple of God. And the reason this happened is because the people of Israel back then, or the Hebrews, and they're just the same as us. They are just the same as us. Where God was constantly talking to the king of Judah there, Jehoiakim, and constantly warning him, like you need to listen to what I'm trying to say to you. If you walk away, bad stuff is going to happen. If you constantly ignore the word of God in your life, and if you constantly ignore what I'm trying to say to you through the prophets, and God, here's the point where God let the people be delivered into captivity by a foreign king, like crazy stuff. These, and then he carried off to the temple of his god, little g, in Babylonia, and put into the treasure house of his god. You know, try to like attack the spiritual faith element of the Hebrews right there by saying, my god, little g, of Babylon is far stronger there, because look, I've taken your stuff and I've put them in my temple. And well, what a culture shift that is happening right here. And then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's servant some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. And most of these were forced into forced labor, but the smart ones can come and they can serve the king, because they can be trained, they can be equipped, they can be change their thinking to be able to be in service for the king. These were young men without physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, probably a bit like Zach Harris. I was thinking that's probably a bit like you. Like he was the first guy that kind of popped up when I thought of that. Quick to understand and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach, he was going to fall asleep, so that was why that was. He was to teach them for the language and the literature of the Babylonians. And the whole goal of the Babylonian king was to take these young men and to indoctrinate them into his way of thinking. They were using literature, they were using language. We'll see in some of the other messages there that they changed their names, which was attacking the agenda. Isn't that happening today, right? It was happening back then in Daniel's time, and they were trying to indoctrinate them to conform into a way of thinking of the Babylonians, and this is that's happening everywhere in our world today, right? Then the king assigned them a daily amount of food, of wine from the king's table. He even tried to change their diet into from a pagan culture, and rather than the Hebrew culture of this kosher type of food, he was turning the whole world upside down. He was like, this is maybe where you were from and this is who you are, but this is who you are now. This is who you are now and this is who you're going to be. It was incredibly difficult for them. And they were to be trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from the tribe of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We probably know them more if you've been in church for a little while or read some of the story books and maybe seen some Netflix stories. You will know them from their Babylonian names more than their Hebrew names. Verse 7, the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he named him Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, he named Shadrach. To Mishael, he named Meshach. And to Azariah, he named Abednego. He changed their names. He changed their names in an attempt to change who they were into something that he was planning. See, conformity is this. Conformity is the tendency for an individual to align their attitudes, their beliefs, and their behaviors with those of people around them. And people exhibit conformity when they change their attitude or behavior to resemble what they believe most people like them would think or do. That was a bit of a mouthful, wasn't it? Conformity is changing people's attitudes and behaviors into maybe not how you were thinking. For us here, like not from the Word of God, not from our Christian faith or beliefs, but into a secular, Babylonian, pagan kind of culture, changing everything. Conformity is one of those, but I love what Scripture says. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us quite simply, do not conform Do not conform to what? To the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's how for some of you tonight, things are going to shift for you because your thinking is going to change from this, what we see in our world, what you're seeing in media and all of those kind of things. You're going to take a shift from there into like the kingdom of God where you're going to start being transformed. How does that happen? The power of the Holy Spirit. Reading the Word of God. I don't like reading. Listening to the Word of God. I don't like listening. Well, read then. My beautiful wife had this thought the other day that here in Auckland, we spend so much time in our cars, right? That we spend parked up somewhere, and we're parked on the motorway, that is, parked up. And we spend so much time there, and that sometimes that can be feel like wasted time. But what about turning your car into your church? Come on, get onto the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God. You probably can't read while you're driving because that would be bad. Elam doesn't condone reading while you're driving. But listening to the Word of God, worshiping the Lord, you've got to take those opportunities because that's where your shift will happen. That's where the conformity will begin to drop away and the transformation of your minds by renewing them will happen. See, the devil's strategy is quite simple. He's actually pretty boring and he hasn't changed in thousands of years. And even since Daniel's times, his strategy is simply this: to confuse your identity, to compromise your standards, and to test your faith. To test your faith. And so do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, God wants to transform you. He wants to transform you. He wants to give you clarity to your identity. He wants to give you courage to stand when it's difficult to stand for what you believe in. And he wants to give you character when life is just downright difficult and hard. So here's the question that I want to ask tonight. So when the heat comes on you and the world tries to force its beliefs and its patterns on you, will you be able to stand firm? Like we sang. Now to answer that question successfully, you have to know that what's on the inside of you is greater than what's in front of you. We're going to unpack some more scripture tonight. And so come along with me on this journey as we discover that it was what was on the inside of them that was greater than was what in front of them. All over the place. Here we go. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Your majesty, the story says, your majesty has issued a decree, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the drums, the electric guitar, the bass, the keyboards, every time you hear that kind of music, you must fall down and worship that image of gold that the king had made for them. And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there were some Jews who had set their own over their affairs of the province of Babylon. They'd been given places of leadership amongst the people of Babylon at that time. It was incredible. They were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they pay no attention to you, your majesty. They serve neither your gods, little g, nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with rage. He summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true? Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, little g, or worship the image of gold I've set before you?" Now, can you picture this? Now, you guys, next time you hear the drums go, the piano go, you must fall down and worship the gold statue of the brother. It was like, now, come on, like there's a bit of authority, like gets up in the business, like next time, you guys, this is your last chance. Next time you hear that, you must fall down and worship the God that I have set up for me, for you, for the whole. And if you are ready to fall down and worship, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. Very good if you do that. Very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Your faith will be tested. Then what God, little g, will be able to rescue you from my hand?
Like, who is this guy thinking that King Nebuchadnezzar, that he's all God Almighty, that he's all powerful, that he can control it? Through fear, obviously through fear, through accusation and maybe torment and just a brutal dictatorship. But have you ever found yourself in that scenario where the world says, if you do this, very good, very good. If you do that, that's very good. But if you don't, I'm just letting you know, we're going to cancel you out. We're going to make life pretty difficult for you. Your business, we're going to make life, it's going to be really difficult for your business, for your relationship. If you don't, you know, do this, we're going to make it hard for you. We're going to make it difficult for you. The enemy, here's the thing, the enemy always wants you to bow down to the things of the world, to his idols and to this world. And this passage really teaches us and shows us that these men of God didn't bow down. Like that guy, August. I was going to call him September, but it was August. That the enemy always wants you to bow down. That these guys, they didn't bow down, and they gave no room for this. It wasn't even a shadow of a doubt for them. There was no room. It wasn't even a consideration. So if we're going to be those people, those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, kind of those Daniel kind of people in a culture of a Nebuchadnezzar rule, how do we do this? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to know that the fire that was inside of them was greater than the furnace that was in front of them. The fire that was inside of them was greater than the furnace in front of them. First thing is this, that we see from these three men that they had conviction over compromise. They had conviction over compromise. See, we live in a day and an age where we are compromising all over the place, if we're honest, right? Like we're compromising all over the place, and you've got to get that conviction. I've got to get it. We've got to get our conviction back. We got to get our conviction back that we stand upon. It's really difficult to stand on the beach when the waves are coming in, right? The sand washes away, and if your life is like that, if your faith is like that, I'm sorry to say that as the tide comes in and out, you'll be taken with the tide in and out. The sand will go from under your feet. But if you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, my salvation, the one who saved you, the one who healed you, the one who baptized you, the sooner coming King, when you face the furnace, you'll be able to stand. It's no compromise. It's that thought of August here that said, I'm not going to salute that guy. The courage kicks in, right? Did you see everyone around him? like it'd be pretty obvious to like, hey, come on, man, lift your hand. What are you doing? How it starts, right? Compromise. When you're the closest to you, say, well, come on, you should just do it. Like, it doesn't matter what you feel or you think, but because bad stuff is going to happen, so just lift your hand there. Compromise. Compromise is one of the things that I see as a part of the enemy's plan for us. He's got no surprises. He's got nothing new but to compromise you. Here's the thing about compromising is that when you start with something small, still small, small, and by the time you're out the door over there, you start to realize how far you've gone. It's like, I think it's like, for maybe people in here, this is for you. You realize that you've stepped away from a small group and now you're down the track and you're like, what am I doing? Or you've stopped coming to church, you start having relationship with people in this place and reading the Word of God, and you come to a point in life when it's all falling apart, there's a furnace there right in front of you, and you think, what am I doing? It's amazing how quickly and fast you can drift. And here's the thought, like compromise is like a squatter. You know what a squatter is? Like they come and put their tent on your back lawn, and you know, like, who are they? What are they doing on my back lawn? And they squat there. I don't know if they like squat there, but they're called squatters. And they, like, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, right? If you leave the back door open, a squatter probably will come in and use your bathroom, and he'll keep taking that. And if you leave your bedroom door open, they'll probably come and use your bed. You know, that's what a squatter does. If the fridge is like, that's gone because the squatter's going to take that as well. Compromise is simply that, and compromise is like a squatter, like someone who camps on your land, and fear is like a squatter too. Fear is like a squatter. Conviction is where you evict the squatters in your life. That's God's part where he comes in. When you come and confess your ways to him, well, let's call it sin. When you confess your sin to him, he is faithful and he is just. That's a squatter that can leave and can go. Squatters in your heart, squatters in your spirit, you just give a little ground and the enemy will take a mile. And it will happen so quickly. So quickly, and then there's one day you'll get up and you'll have that light bulb moment. Boing. Like, what am I doing? Where am I? How have I drifted so far? Compromise will do that. Conviction over compromise. So what is your conviction today? Because it's time to stand. We're not living in a season where we can, you know, where we can compromise and safely make it out the other side. Time is short. Recognize the season and the times we're in and learn from the story of Daniel and his friends on how we can develop that conviction over compromise. I've gone 30 seconds over. Let's go really fast. The second thought is this: confidence over chaos. The three men displayed confidence over the chaos. Daniel chapter 3 verse 19, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. Have you ever noticed how people's attitude changes in front of you? Even people and your family, we've probably seen that over the whole COVID thing and the mandates and all that kind of stuff that went on, how people that were close to each other suddenly turned on them, their attitude changed because they were standing up for something, and people's attitudes changes towards you for many kind of reasons. But this King Nebuchadnezzar, he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, which is completely stupid and doesn't make sense. See, if you want to make it more painful for somebody, to drag the process out, it's almost like you should turn the temperature down a little bit because they're still going to get burned, but it's just going to be slower. Where if you turn it up, it's like, pff, you know, pff. And we see that when Nebuchadnezzar commanded some of his strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, well, that's just ridiculous as well. Why do you tie them up? First thing that's going to get burnt and fall off is the ropes. And why are your strongest men? Once you're tied up, you're tied up. Doesn't matter how strong you are. You might be the weakest of the whole army and you could tie up and you'd still be stuck. So that makes completely no sense, but chaotic. So they tied up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and threw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans and clothes are bound crazy. They're going to just burn up too, aren't they? Ridiculous. And they threw them into the burning fire. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego up. You just lost your three best men. That's a bit crazy. Why did, you know, ridiculous, stupid, if I'm saying. And these three men firmly tied up fell into the blazing furnace. And it just makes no sense. The enemy makes no sense because God is a God of order. God wants to give you confidence in these seasons that don't make sense. Here's a great reminder. So just a couple more minutes. Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your neighbor, the person beside you, your boss, your workmates. It's not about the other person that you're arguing with on social media right now. But against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore is a great. Whenever you read scripture, it says, therefore, take notice, stop, and look and see why it's therefore. That was cool, eh?
Yeah.
Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Like you'll have confidence, like you'll have conviction to be able to stand. So when that you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand, listen to this, this is really important, stand. once you're able to stand, stand. Conviction over compromise. Confidence over chaos. Third, final thing, really quickly. Purpose in the furnace. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, they're worried now, I think. Certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. Skip down to the bottom there. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head was singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I have a really cool fireplace at home, but no matter how hard I try, everyone stinks of smoke. We'll light it, the smoke will go inside, it'll go everywhere, and it'll smell smoke. It's near on impossible to be around a fire, right? And to not smell a smoke. So the miracle was, yeah, that God saved them, sent the fourth man in the fire. We sing a great song about the fourth man being, and he is with you. That fourth man is God, is the Holy Spirit, is Jesus. And when you trust in him, when you believe in him, no matter what furnace or whatever you're facing, that's right in front of you. Now there's the fourth man there. But here's the cool thing, and I think we kind of get it to choose this a bit, where we can go through furnaces, but we can come out stinking of smoke, like really bad, right? And that's hurt, that's pain. That's why God, why did you allow this to happen to me? I was trying to stand, and this happened. And I drifted, I compromised, and I ended up way over. It's hard to sit by fire and still smell a smoke. Your furnace is not there to demote you, but to promote you. Watch this. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, what is this guy? The guy that's just thrown them into a furnace, the guy that's made them bow down to his gold. It's like he's done this. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel to rescue his servants. The Babylonian king says, praise be to God. So maybe, I just wonder, maybe the purpose of your furnace right now is not maybe so much to you, but it's for those ones who are watching you right now. Those ones that are close to you. And they're watching to see how you stand, how you navigate it. They're watching you to see, will you just stand and will you stand upon your convictions and the confidence in the Lord? And I just wonder, maybe the story as you go into this week is like, praise be to the God of Jeremy. That people around him say, praise be. Praise be to the God of Bailey, because Bailey has stood and Bailey has stand. Praise be to the God of September, June, and July, who have just made it through and they've stood firm and strong. What a testimony of your furnace. Furnace is not there to demote you. It's there to promote you and the God that you serve. The God you serve. Come on, why don't we close our eyes? I'm sorry for going, wow, 8 minutes, sorry. Why don't we close our eyes right now? Father, right across this place right now. Look, Lord, I felt that you wanted to shift some things in the hearts and lives of people tonight, oh God. And Lord, done the best I can tonight. So Holy Spirit, would you come, touch and impact and stir what you need to stir, Lord? Lord, I thank you that you're a gentleman, that you're a God who's kind and compassionate and incredibly loving. So Holy Spirit, Lord, for those who need a shift in their lives right now, oh God, they're just things that are coming to mind. Holy Spirit, you're bringing things to their minds right now. So Father, I pray, as those things come to mind, that Lord, I'd like take those things, Lord, like lift them up to you. Like, God, I'm so sorry. God, I thank you that you forgive me. God, I thank you that you love me. Lord, I give you, Lord, the fear that's gripping my heart right now, Lord, I just give it to you. Lord, my compromising things that I absolutely hate and I know I do it and I know I shouldn't, but God, I give you that, my compromise tonight. Father, right across this place, I stand upon your word that you are faithful and you're true. That, Lord, when people sincerely come before you, O God, and bring their stuff, that you are faithful and you are just to forgive us. Make us brand new. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you might say, Darryl, my life is so far away from him. And I would love to invite you in a prayer, a real simple prayer with me today. And here's the truth. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, the truth is this, that God loves you and he made you. He has a great plan for your life, but we all sin. We all mess up. And that sin, it separates us from God. But God in his grace sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. And when he died, he took on himself what you and I would do for our sin. And he extends to each one of us tonight his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness for our past, hope for our future and eternity with him. And if you're here tonight, you don't know him, or you're far away from him, I want to invite you to pray this prayer just silently in your heart after me. Pray this: God, today, I surrender my life to you. I know I've sinned, but I believe, Jesus, you died for me. I turn from my old life and I turn to you. Come in and be the Lord of my life and take and make me brand new today. I choose from this day to live for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.